In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were like me when you were in school, you probably took a class or two where you maybe learned one or two things, but all the rest of the information just flew over your head. For me, that class was philosophy in college. Most of that information flew right over my head. But I do remember a couple of things from that class. One of those things being what's called the allegory of the cave. This allegory was made by the philosopher Plato, and it goes as such. A group of prisoners are in a deep, dark cave, and they're chained to the floor, and they can only look at the wall that is in front of them. Behind these prisoners, there is a fire, and the fire is casting light on objects that are in front of the fire, and the shadows are shown on the wall in front of the prisoners. The prisoners have no idea what these shadows are, so they give these shadows different names, thinking they know what these are. Now, one of these prisoners escapes his chains, and he runs from the cave, and he sees the real world. He sees what the world has to offer. And this freed prisoner goes back to the cave, and he sees what's really in the cave. He sees the objects and he knows what these objects actually are. And when he tries telling these prisoners what these objects are, they don't want to hear any of it. They don't want to listen to this freed prisoner. They are blinded by the knowledge which they think they have, and they are blinded by their pride to change what they believe in. Now, while all of this is supposed to point to the prisoners not having any worldly knowledge and this freed prisoner is the philosopher who knows everything, I'm going to give this a little bit of a Christian meaning. We were those prisoners chained in this dark cave. We were those prisoners looking at this wall, not knowing what was right and what was wrong. We might have thought, yeah, I know what all of this is, but we were completely overshadowed in Satan's darkness. Paul here in his letter to the Ephesians gives them comfort and instruction. Paul in the last verse of our sermon text says, "Wake up, sleeper, for you are no longer darkness, but now live as children of the light." Paul makes it very clear in our first verse today, you were once darkness. But why is he emphasizing this? After all, right after this, he says that they are light in the Lord. But Paul is making sure that the Ephesians know that they were once corrupted. And just like the Ephesians were once corrupted, we too have this natural state of corruption. We have plenty of biblical evidence to show that this corruption runs deep. Look in the Old Testament, for example. All the peoples who are living around the Israelites were idolatrous peoples. One of the gods they worshipped was the god Molech. And you know what these peoples did to worship this god Molech? They sacrificed babies to this god. And now go to the New Testament. Go to how the Romans treated the early Christians. It's in every history book. Crucifixion, being mauled by animals in arenas, and in some cases, Nero literally lit Christians on fire to light his gardens. And now go to today. Marriage is confused as to what it even is anymore. Wars go on that seem absolutely senseless, and crime seems as if it escalates on the daily in our cities. We all know what the Bible says about this corruption. We all know the verses, the wages of sin is death. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But if you don't see this corruption, here again, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Look at how Paul describes it here in our text. Fruitless deeds of darkness. There are certainly times when we think that what we're doing is totally fine, but we've already been in the dark when we're thinking this way. Naturally, human beings think that in order for them to get something, something needs to happen. It makes sense, right? When we work, we get money. When we work out, we get stronger. But this is the exact opposite of what Paul is describing in our text. We did nothing to get into the light. And as a matter of fact, we would never have been able to get into this light if it weren't for the saving work of Jesus. Jesus stepped down from his throne that was surrounded by pure light to walk on an earth that was so blinded in its darkness that they flat out rejected him and murdered him. As the world turned dark around them and as God was punishing him for our sin, Jesus suffered the darkness of the Father's righteous anger that we so rightly deserved. Nothing else that we do is greater than this soul deed Jesus did for us. There are some times when we do good works and they make us feel good and we want the spotlight of heaven to be shown on us to show everyone else how great we are. But newsflash, God doesn't care about your pride. Because of what Jesus has done, we are now out of this darkness. He created faith in our hearts to believe in the one who makes all things great. And he even makes us great with his rich grace and mercy. Because of this, we want to live as children of the light. What Paul is describing here to the Ephesians isn't some new groundbreaking thinking. Our Savior said this exact thing in John chapter 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Jesus here is also saying that we ought to live as children of the light. And because we are now light, we want to live as children of the light. Our work should coincide with how Paul describes it here. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But why is Paul saying this? Doesn't Paul already know that we know how to live? We know what is right. We know what is wrong. But Paul here is reminding the Ephesians how to live, just as we need that reminder too. We need to be told how to live, because despite knowing the Ten Commandments and what they teach, how are you doing as living as a child of the light? Are you going out of your way to commit sin? Are you finding joy in doing the things that you know are forbidden by God? We need this constant reminder that we need to look inwardly and reflect. And after this reflection, are there sins that need to be confessed? Perhaps there are some thoughts and deeds that do need to be confessed to our Lord. After all, Paul clearly says that we should have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather, we need to expose them. We need to expose them, but we don't need to be afraid of this confession. You and I can be certain that Jesus forgives us, and he always will. With every single confession, whether it's private or here at church, no matter how great or small the sin might be, you are forgiven. we can also be certain that this confession is pleasing to God. But don't get lackadaisical with this. Look at our last passage from this section. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is a call to people who are living in the light, but they're falling back into the darkness. So don't use confession as a free pass to sin, knowing that your sins will be forgiven anyways. This is a huge misuse of this blessing from God. We are in the season of Lent, and it's a long season. It might not be as long as Pentecost, but why is the season of Lent a long season? Because we are given the time and the opportunity to meditate on how special the death of Jesus was. So don't misuse his grace. His forgiveness of sin shouldn't be something that we take for granted, because this is exactly what Satan wants us to believe. Well, because your sins are forgiven anyways, you might as well just let this one sin slide. Rather, let your deed show that you are serious about your faith. Because the moment we let our guard down, Satan is right there. So do everything in your power to get away from sin. Because once we are in sin, it is so hard to get out of it. You know this. You have committed sins that have pushed away friends, family, but most importantly, it has pushed you away from God. How long did it take you to get out of this sin? A week? A month? Year? 5 years? Are you still struggling with that sin now? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do everything you possibly can to get away from sin, even if that means that you need to bring your fruitless deeds of darkness to the light. For it is better for yourself to feel the embarrassment or the consequence of sin for a little while than for you to have your soul be condemned for all eternity. So don't just sit here and keep living your life with no change. Again, go back to the words of verse 14. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We know people who are living in the darkness. We have friends, family, coworkers, people who are close to us who are living in darkness. So tell them about your church. Tell them about what you hear at church and all the wonderful things Jesus has done for you. Living in the light is more than doing daily good works and confessing your sins when you feel sorry about them. We are now believers in the church of God who are promised eternal life through his saving work of Jesus Christ. We are no longer those prisoners that are chained to the floor of the cave, not knowing what is right and what is wrong. We have been brought to the light because of Jesus Christ. Jesus woke us up from our state of darkness that we were in, and now he wants us to go do the same. Live your lives for him. Don't get lackadaisical and take Jesus' forgiveness for granted. Go out and bring people who you know need to hear about Jesus, and bring them to church. Thanks be to God that he brought us out of darkness and brought us into his wonderful light. You are light in the Lord. Amen.